Last month, 12 teens and 8 police officers took part in the most recent dialogues. They met 2 times for 3-hour sessions. The teens are working as youth advocates at Teen Empowerment, which focuses on addressing the most pressing problems in their community. The officers all volunteered for the program. The idea is that if they get to know each other as individuals, a bridge can be formed to lead to more understanding and less conflict.
I would say I wanted to be open-minded, but I couldn't help but being nervous when I first walked in because of a couple of officers were still in uniform and they had a really stern face. I'm just like, oh man, I don't want to talk to that guy. Like, he could be one of those.
That's 17-year-old Yusuf Ahmadi. He moved to Rochester from Salt Lake City when he was younger.
As I got older and as I moved out here to the urban areas, you know, it's way different. The cops are so much more aggressive. You know, they don't come to you with like coming. They don't come to talk to you about just to have like a conversation. It's like here, if they come to you, you either did something wrong or they're asking you about somebody who did something wrong.
Fremonte Strong has taken part in the Youth Police Dialogue Program for 2 years. Any nervousness he had about sitting down face-to-face with officers was overcome by his curiosity.
I was kind of anxious to find out, like, exactly who they were. Like, not with their badge and their suit on, but, you know, like, under all of that, like, who you are as an individual and a person.
Reporters aren't allowed inside these dialogue sessions. They're restricted to the participants and facilitators so everyone feels like they can be open and honest. Afterward, though, Radeja McCullough shared the exchange that caused her to see a police officer in a different way.
When I told a story about my dad and I got emotional, it was the officer that started crying. Like, I was crying and the officer started crying. We are good youth, but, like, you know, everyone's troubled, everyone's broken. I mean, police officers also are broken from things that they experience on a daily basis. And, you know, just having that understanding is just like people could have more sympathy for each other, you know, instead of just hating them.
The officer who cried when Radeja shared her story is Margaret Drayton. She says she relates to these kids because she's been there herself.
I grew up in the same circumstances in a home that didn't have a lot of money, a father in and out of prison. So I know you can either choose one way or the other. You don't always have to go the negative way. I see a lot of that in them, that they want something better, that they know they can do better if they put the work into it. Not everything's going to be handed to you. You have to work at it.
Officer Augustin Gonzalez said he really heard the kids who said they fear police, and he's trying to change the way he approaches them in the future.
We have to be cautious on how we even come out of our police car. It could be seen as being very aggressive, just how we walk and how we interact with people. We just have to be careful because we are under a microscope, and some people's perception of us because we slammed the door in the car because we're trying to get out immediately, they may think that we're trying to be aggressive, not understanding that we're just trying to get out the car because we want to go see what's going on.
And that's the kind of shift adult organizers at Teen Empowerment hope to see when teens and police start to talk. Surveys taken by officers and youth after the dialogues show that both feel they have built better relationships with their peers and with members of the other group and developed new skills and understanding. But that progress can be easily threatened. Jamie Doherty is the leader of a research team from the Criminal Justice Program at RIT. They studied the Youth Police Dialogue Program for several years.
If the youth have a bad experience on the streets with another officer while going through the groups, it was pretty evident that a lot of the good got thrown out the window, you know, in that moment of feeling hurt. And, you know, Teen Empowerment works, and the other officers and stuff work with them through that, because that's obviously in some ways trauma that they've experienced, and it's real.
Doherty says that experience also demonstrates why the program should be expanded to include more city youth and more Rochester police officers. The kids and police involved in the dialogues now see ways to improve their relationships outside the sessions. Here's Officer Gonzalez again.
If one of the police officers is doing something that's inappropriate, for me to be able to tell him or her, you need to stop doing that, but also for the youth to, if they see a young man who is a little bit verbal or getting aggressive towards the police, for them to be able to step in and hold that person accountable for their actions.
Fremonte, remember, he's the one who was curious about who police were behind the badge and the uniform, has a suggestion for officers.
The officers, they told us like that they would play basketball and stuff like that with us, but it was like just us because we was the good kids that was, you know, inside of the dialogues. But what about the rest of the kids that's out here, you know, on the corners or, you know, like don't have the proper guidance? Like, what about, you know, the kids that's been to jail? And if officers could reach out to those ones as well as us, you know, well, everybody as a whole, that it'd be very, very different in our communities.
It's difficult to quantify the impact of the program in the community. Some officers and youth who took part in the dialogues in previous years say they have changed the way they interact with each other, but researchers aren't there to observe those interactions. Rochester's Deputy Police Chief Wayne Harris believes in the Teen Empowerment Initiative, and he's also a member of the organization's advisory board.
Can I say that, you know, through teen empowerment and putting officers in here, then 5 years from now it's going to be great and everyone's going to be, you know, holding hands and singing Kumbaya? Probably not. But I can tell you that without programs like this, without bridge building, you know, programs where I get to know you, you get to know me, then in that 5 year period of time, we're going to be right where we are. We won't have grown. There can't be any growth unless we sort of get together and talk and get to know one another.
Teen Empowerment's long-term goal is to expand throughout the city to get more young people and police together so they can keep talking. For WXXI News, I'm Beth Adams.